Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we're going to conclude our studies of the abundant life, that life that is mentioned in John chapter 10, where our Lord Jesus Christ says, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." And we have been exploring, if those of you who have listened to the broadcast for this series, we have been exploring the different ways in which we're related to Christ. And I think that today is the grandest and the sweetest of all. We're related to Christ as sons. And we read from the scriptures today about that sonship. And it begins in our study of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Each part of the members of the Trinity are involved in conforming us to the image of Christ and making us to be indeed the sons of God. Now, briefly in review, we will say that in Romans chapter 8, we see the Father's intention, then we see the Son's declaration, and then we see the Spirit's marvelous works. All right, here's the Father's declaration. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Notice, please, he predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now, we read about the Lord's declaration in John chapter 20, and we will read that verse now. The Lord reveals himself to Mary Magdalene. She was the first one who saw him after he rose from the dead. And he reveals himself to him. "Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto the Father, and unto my Father, and your Father, and to my God, and your God." He owns us in that relationship. My Father, your Father, my God, your God. And then he told her, Mary Magdalene, he said, "And say unto them, go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, your Father, to my God, and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Now today, we wish to see the Spirit's marvelous workings in regard to bringing us to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We read in the third chapter of John that he is responsible for our salvation. We read there, beginning at verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily," and he's speaking to Nicodemus, "verily, verily, I say unto him," he said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Born of the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. You see, as we were born into man's family, we must be born into God's family. When we were born into man's family, we inherited an evil nature. Now, by the Spirit of God, and we read it there, we just read it in John chapter 3, we're born by the Spirit. The Spirit gives us life. Now, he does this by revealing Christ to us. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and beginning at verse 9, if you please. We read there, "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but by the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know all the things, rather, that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words of man's wisdom, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. When we got saved, it was a revelation from the Spirit of God. He is the one who brings that wonderful fact to us by revealing to us, first of all, our need. We're sinners. We need to be saved. And then the fact that Christ died on the cross for us. And in the third chapter of John, we get to that lovely verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And oh, I'll never forget my own personal experience. That when I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, I saw him for the first time as taking my place on that cross. Now, I knew this academically, but I never knew it spiritually. And the Spirit brought it to me that day. Christ died for your sin. That's why you're going to heaven. That barrier that would have kept you out of heaven has been erased by the Spirit of God bringing Christ before you. Then we read in Galatians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, these words. "And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Here again, we are introduced to the Father as sons, if you please. The Spirit of God is the moving force in all of this. I think that I shall just have to read those verses over, that we might gain the full weight of them. "And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Oh, how wonderful to know him as our Father, and know him and the capacity of a son, all because of the Spirit's work. I'll never forget the night that I was saved. You pardon me. Just accept that I'm witnessing for the Lord. All right, that night that I went home and I realized Christ has died for my sins, that barrier that would have kept me out of heaven is gone. And God is satisfied with the work of Christ, or he would never have raised him from the dead and take him back to heaven. He died for me. And I realized, as I never had before, I realized, and I prayed to him, "Thank you, Father, for giving your Son." I'll never forget it. That word, Father, was revealed to me by the Spirit of God. That was my relation to God now. A son. And I said, "Father," and the meaning that besieged my heart in that word, Father. That's Galatians 4, 6 and 7. Now the Spirit's word goes on in leading us. We read in Romans 8 and verse 14, these words, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." The Spirit leads us, and he leads us as a son should walk. He reveals to us the mind of God and the Scriptures, and here we are, led by the Spirit of God, if you please. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I recall, and you will perhaps too, that when our Lord Jesus Christ was baptized of John in Jordan, that he immediately was besieged by the devil and led into the wilderness by the Spirit of God. God led him, his son, he was led into the Spirit, into the wilderness by the Spirit of God, and he was there for 40 days, and he ate nothing. And Satan came to tempt him, and we have the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was more necessary things than food to him. It was to do the will of God. And so we see that here we are fully aware of the fact that we are the sons of God. He leads us. He leads us into the Scriptures. He leads us daily. And the the power of the Spirit conforms us to the image of Christ. I think in this connection of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. As we look into the with open face into the in a glass, and that glass is called a mirror. James calls the Scriptures a mirror. If we look into that mirror, we'll see ourselves as God sees us. We'll see ourselves in need of Christ. We'll see ourselves in Christ. As we study Christ in the Scriptures, as you and I see Him there brought before us, the Spirit of God changes us into the same image from glory to glory, one degree of glory to a higher degree of glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. He is conforming us now, if you please, to the image of Christ, making us like His Son. You know, if we admire a person, we become like that person. Children mimic their parents. A little boy will walk like his daddy. He'll say things like his daddy. Daddy, be careful what you say. The little fellow admires his daddy. We admire the Lord Jesus, and we become like Him when we admire Him. But the Spirit's work is to make us like the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Spirit's work in conforming us to Christ goes on at the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in Romans chapter 8, in verse 11, we will not have time to consider it. It's the Spirit of God that raptures us and gives us a new body, like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that is the Spirit's work. Read it. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. The Spirit gives us the body like unto the body of Christ. And oh, that body, how wonderful that body is. When we see Christ, it's like His body, with one exception. Christ's body is perfect and we'll be like Him. But we won't have the marks of Calvary on our hands. Do you realize that Christ will go through eternity with the marks of Calvary on His hands? We'll be just like Him, but no marks in our hands. Our Father, today we thank You for the work of the Spirit of God in our lives. We thank You that He led us to see our need of a Savior. He revealed Christ to us, and He's even going to rapture us by His power into the presence of God with a brand new body like that of Christ. We thank You in His name. Amen.